football on Off the Ball.
Top, yeah, just a little bit standoffish, to be honest. And I just said that to the lads in the dressing room. Top, yeah, we're getting too much respect. And for me, on a football pitch, when you give teams too much respect, it's a fear. Yeah, didn't like it.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The news round on Off the Ball.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
This is News Talk.
Good evening and welcome along to Thursday night's Off the Ball. It's Owen here with you until 10 tonight. We've got Brian O'Driscoll coming up from 7:30. He's going to break down the chances for the British and Irish Lions to become the first British and Irish Lions team to complete a 3-0 sweep in Australia this weekend. So since 1927 was the last time they actually produced a clean sweep of tests. You've got to go back a little while for them to win three in a row as well, back in the days of four tests. So 1927 is the year we're using as a reference point going into that conversation. From 8 o'clock, five-time All-Ireland winner Darren O'Sullivan is going to join us to preview the All-Ireland Women's Final. It is Dublin versus Meath this Sunday in Croke Park in the Senior Decider. And we'll also be catching up with Dean Brennan, manager of Barnet FC. So the Dubliner got him promoted last year from the National League into the Football League, and he's going to manage his first game in League 2 this Saturday. He's a brilliant character. There's a really good chat with him coming up before 9 o'clock. And then after 9, we've got a crappy quiz coming your way. The first of two this weekend. The second is for All Together Now attendees only tomorrow. So the really, really, really good stuff is coming your way tomorrow at All Together Now if you're there at 7 p.m. The merely really, really good stuff is coming up tonight on the radio after 9 o'clock. It's myself versus Matthew versus Nathan in that one. Our number is 0879 180 180 if you want to get in touch. Cameron Hill is here. Hello, Cameron.
Good evening, Owen. Is that like a pre-season kind of crappy quiz?
It is. As I say, you know, it's just kind of four of us spitballing here, just throwing trivia at one another, whereas tomorrow is like the real stuff, the real entertainment value. I have one question that's coming up at the quiz tomorrow at All Together Now, which I'm unbelievably proud of.
Okay.
It's called a crappy quiz for a reason. Mm. However, there is one piece of trivia that has taken a little bit of working out, but I think it's the best quiz question I've ever asked at a crappy quiz.
There's no feeling like it, is there?
No,
like,
there coming really up isn't.
I pitched ages ago to Arthur. I was like, do you know what you should ask as a pass the parcel? Is all nine of the Springfield Isotopes ringers that were brought in by C.M. Burns.
That was a great question.
And I was so... Dare said it's the greatest contribution I've ever made to the quiz, which was a bit insulting.
Can we actually just dump that, and can we use that question tomorrow night at All Together Now as well? That would be probably a good situation. I'm actually going to do some deep diving on the Simpsons as a sports entity maybe before that tomorrow. Nathan Murphy is in Talla this evening. Hello, Nathan. Potentially in Talla.
He's trying to figure out all nine now, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he'll come up with the answer as soon as we get to him. One thing that you spotted today, Cameron, you were perusing social media and these... I'm not saying that it's like a slow news month that builds up to a Premier League season, but the information that's coming out of Arsenal is certainly getting into the finer details. Well, what have you spotted?
Yeah, so these kind of pre-season stories are always interesting. And remember last year, Mikel Arteta hiring pickpockets to steal the players' wallets and phones. But this time, he's gone a little bit different. At least I assume this is his doing. But at the training centre for Arsenal, there's a blacked out version of the Premier League. So as you walk in now, you just see this sort of shiny silhouette of a Premier League trophy just going in, just to remind players, I suppose, of what they're fighting for next season, which is, I don't know, what do you make of that?
Achievement yet to be unlocked, I saw someone say. I did see somebody say it's actually a representation of the Invincible season, but I think a blacked out version of the Premier League trophy is the opposite of what would represent. I think it's a gold trophy, isn't it?
For that Invincible season. Yeah. It's so weird, but it was giving, you know, when players... I saw Bellingham do this 2 years ago, and I've seen it a bit during the Lions. You know how players just walk around crests, like club crests on the floor now? Mm-hmm. What's that about? That's mental.
It is, you know, but mark respect. Rio Ferdinand has got too much sway in this game, it turns out.
Does the black it out thing, does it get coloured in the closer they get? Is it like, you know, those Save Our Village Hall thermometers where it's like we're getting closer to our funding goal?
Yeah, potentially. I'm not sure, is it something that actually motivates you when you come off the training ground every day to see this thing, something that the Arsenal haven't had in 20 something years? I don't know. I think you're right on the Arteta point, but I also think because Mikel Arteta is Arsenal manager, any little
piece of information like that that comes out is just jumped upon, and everybody loves to hate Mikel Arteta, the overthinker. I mean, they wouldn't have beaten Real Madrid last year if they hadn't hired the pickpockets in pre-season, Cameron. I think that much is undeniable. Nathan Murphy is with us from Tala Stadium this evening. Nathan, how are you?
Can you hear me coming in loud and clear from Tala?
Loud and clear. So it is another Conference League night for Shamrock Rovers. Remember, they need to run the table to qualify for the league phase of this year's competition. They are up against St. Joseph's of Gibraltar, 4-0 up after the first leg last week. It was really those 8 minutes that killed off St. Joseph. So are they fielding a strong team tonight, Nathan, in terms of going for this and really killing off the tie, or is the tie already dead?
Well, such is the depth of the Shamrock Rovers squad. They've made half a dozen changes, but it's still an incredibly strong starting team. Maybe the standout is a first start in the green and white hoops for the 20-year-old Keen Barrett, who is the son of the former Republic of Ireland international Graham Barrett. Spent time last season on loan in Kerry. He's been in around the Shamrock Rovers squad this year, and he gets a start. It's a peculiar game for Shamrock Rovers in a way. The job is already done. They're leading by 4-0. Maybe they want to go and set a new record. 7-0 is their biggest aggregate victory, and you'd certainly feel that is there for them tonight. But they don't know what's coming next. On paper, they're down to play Derry City in a big League of Ireland game here on Sunday evening. But depending on what happens elsewhere, there's the possibility that game might be called off and they might face a trip to Latvia in the next round on Tuesday rather than Thursday. So Stephen Bradley is having to work his team probably on the assumption. But again, you look at the strength of the team that's starting and the strength of the squad that Shamrock Rovers had, and it really is beyond compare in the League of Ireland Premier Division. The team, I'll just run through it, and what we expect it'll probably line out as is Ed McGuinty in goal, Keane Barrett, Pico Lopez and Corey O'Sullivan in defence, Josh Honohan and Danny Grant on the wings, and then Jack Byrne, Gary O'Neill, Aaron McInniff in behind Rory Gaffney and Michael Noonan.
Okay, so this idea that there could be a further postponement is something that Stephen Bradley has been speaking about this week, and the length of the League of Ireland season is something that Bradley's just not happy with at all, Nathan. He thinks that First Division sides have too much sway in terms of the length of the calendar. All of these players in the Premier Division this season are getting paid 52-week contracts anyway, and he just thinks it's all way too condensed.
He doesn't. He's been talking about this for years, and I don't necessarily think it's to do with the potential postponement this week, because we've had a really peculiar period where, because the European teams have these extra games on a Monday earlier in the season where they play each other to free themselves up so that they don't have to play between the European games. Well, Shamrock Rovers ended up getting a bye and Drogheda United weren't in Europe, so they ended up going long periods without any game at all. And again, you look at the strength in that Shamrock Rovers squad, I think they can more than handle now the Thursday Sunday turnaround and still have more than enough for most teams. I think he's looking further ahead, and it probably does show the haves and the have-nots of Irish football. He's thinking again about Conference League football and how prepared they are for actually the group stages of that. And it was a big issue for them last season, where the league finishes on the first weekend in November, doesn't start until the middle of February. And within that time, they're playing potentially three or four Conference League games with no other competitive football. And he's right. It's a very frustrating calendar in some ways, and I understand what the FAI are trying to do, which is make life easier for the European teams. But you end up with a fixture list where almost two-thirds of the games are first half of the season. And after that, we call it a mid-season break, but the international fixtures in June when there's no games for a couple of weeks, it feels like the momentum is almost sucked out of the league. Teams are on, teams are off. You're out of your rhythm of going to a match on a Friday night. Some teams don't end up playing for two or three weeks in a league game. Like Shamrock Rovers, it feels like haven't played league game in months at this stage, even though they're going to be here on Sunday night. And it just means that it's far too condensed at certain periods, and then there's long periods where there's nothing happening. But understandably, the First Division clubs are probably against that. I think the easy thing you would say is that the First Division just starts at a later date than the Premier Division. There's no reason why they have to. Extending later into November, the difficulty is you have another international break there. You've got issues with the cup final and the availability of the Aviva. But there's no reason why they couldn't start 2-3 weeks earlier, potentially in February, and get going on the 1st of February. Most teams they are fully professional. So players are back in preseason training by, you know, the beginning of December. They get a month off. And it does feel like it makes sense when everybody is getting paid all of the year that you would have more weeks and more wiggle room potentially then within that for situations like this with Derry City, where it may be a very late call off. But I do think, rightly and understandably, Stephen Bradley is looking at it from a Shamrock Rovers point of view, and they are just operating on a very different level. Certainly, I would say to all but St. Patrick's Athletic, Derry and Shelburne in terms of the resources available to them.
Yeah, that is the other point here. But then again, would a longer season not favour thinner squads a little bit more as well compared to the current situation? A condensed calendar means, you know, you've got to use your squad a little bit more, and maybe Shamrock Rovers are actually benefiting more than anybody else given the condensed nature of the season.
Yeah, I think you're probably right there in that so often they will talk about those Friday, Monday double headers and the importance of them when you look back in a season to the league table and how often the strongest squads can cope with them. But to be honest, I think Stephen Bradley's thinking much bigger than that. I think he's looking at the Europa League, the Europa Conference League, as something that Shamrock Rovers can be in pretty much every season. They're going to have to go, as you say, all the way through the qualifiers this time. There is no second chance, third chance as there is for Shelburne this season. They've got to win every single tie to get into the Conference League. But I think the expectation is that they'll be able to do that most years. Next year, they're going to be champions again. They'll start in the Champions League and they'll have those second and third chances. So I think he's thinking more of the bigger picture for Shamrock Rovers and how they can succeed in Europe and the benefits of those games to them potentially for a Conference League, rather than what we had last year where, you know, they're having to go to Stamford Bridge without any competitive game for over a month. And then, maybe more importantly, they're having to play in the playoff for the Europa League. Again, without any competitive game ahead of that trip to Molde for, 2 months at that stage?
Yeah, that is the thing. So, I mean, are we expecting Shamrock Rovers to be in a favourable position to go all the way? As you say, we kind of know their next round opponent. Assuming there's not a massive upset tonight, is the expectation that they will be able to survive and make it to the league phase this season?
Yeah, I think so. I think it all depends on that final draw for the playoff round. Now, Shamrock Rovers are a seeded team, but it depends on what teams have qualified from across Europe. And obviously things can change quickly in terms of the strength of sides. I think the expectation will be that they will go through, not just tonight, but they'll be very strong favourites to go through in the next qualifying round as well. And it will all depend on the draw and can they get a favourable draw. But I think with what they've done over the past sort of 12 to 18 months, they're actually one of the teams other teams across Europe will be looking to avoid in that playoff round because of the strength and depth that they have. And you know, I'm looking at this bench at the moment and it has Lee Grace, Dan Cleary, Dylan Watts, Graham Burke, Sean Kavanagh, Danny Mandreou, Matt Healy, Victor Osimbuna, John McGovern, all among the substitutes tonight. They've just added in Conor Malley from Sligo Rovers as well. It's a sort of unprecedented level of depth that we've seen from a League of Ireland club. And if you compare where they are now to 12 months ago, they are a much, much better team. Remember, they were really struggling domestically this time last year and managed to somehow get the job done in Europe to get into that Conference League group stage. They are twice the team they were 12 months ago. So yeah. I think they'll have a real confidence that they should have enough to get back into the Conference League again.
In case you missed this morning's Off the Ball breakfast, we had some of this.
And you notice, lads, for the last 2 minutes, we've taken over your show. We're now talking to one another.
They say winning isn't everything.
And we also had this.
Absolutely. And you're absolutely right. The Cork boys came in and celebrated with us last Monday. Talked to a couple of boys from Drum Tariff and Ken Turk came over. And you know, they're licking their wounds after the hurling, but no, and no, they didn't stay too long with us celebrating, but they did come back and had a drink with us.
This is just part of the game, yeah. We just want to win a ring, yeah. We just
you can catch everything from this morning's Off the Ball breakfast on the Go Loud app every weekday morning from 7:30.
Pull up from 3 like the rain. Pull up from 3 like I'm Curry. Come through the deal like it's surgery. Kyrie Irving, I don't show no mercy. I'ma finish and get back on key like it's surgery.
There we'll get to the news round, which is with UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action. And it is tonight's European action that you're kicking things off with, Cameron.
Yeah, as Nathan mentioned, Darrow and Shamrock Rovers well in control of their Conference League qualifier second round tie ahead of this evening's second leg in Tallaght. Stephen Bradley's side have a 4-0 lead heading into the second leg at home to St Joseph's of Gibraltar. That's underway in Tallaght at 8 o'clock. St Pat's are in action as well this evening, and they are in big trouble in their game against Callew. 2-0 the host lead now, to leave a 2-1 to the Estonian side with around 17 minutes to play in normal time there. So it looks like Pats are staring down the barrel of an exit. Now, Troy Parrott has scored twice for AZ Alkmaar this evening as they lead 5-0 over Ilves of Finland in their qualifier in the Conference League. So that means that they will go through 8-4 on aggregate. Well, Emma Byrne will remain working with the Republic of Ireland coaching team despite taking a new role at club level. She's joining English National League side Lewis as their new head coach. She'll also continue her role in the international setup, where she serves as goalkeeping coach under manager Carla Ward currently.
We have news on Lucas Paquetá.
He's been cleared of spot fixing charges by an independent commission. He was accused by the Football Association in England of misconduct during four Premier League matches between November of 2022 and August the following year. The Brazil international was alleged to have picked up yellow cards on purpose, but always maintained his innocence.
That is the football news. We'll get to the swimming in just a moment. But Nathan, I'm hearing great sounds of anticipation, particularly for Alan Reynolds' inclusion in our All Together Now coverage this weekend. How are you fixed? Are the bags packed?
Absolutely, the bags are packed and I'm ready to go. Yes, Alan Reynolds live at All Together Now, 3 o'clock on Saturday, alongside Brian Kerr and Kieran McCormack. I saw a Bohemians fan saying they're trying to swap two Oasis tickets for a Saturday All Together Now ticket just so they can see Rennie in full flow. So we're very excited about our League of Ireland panel and to hear from Alan Reynolds, who's had a fairly tumultuous season and is coming out the other end of it, and what his plans are for the rest of this campaign and what Bulls can maybe go and achieve over the next couple of years. I'm very excited about 5 o'clock tomorrow and listening to Brian Kerr alongside Cullamon. You had to be there live. I think Brian Kerr's You Had to Be There may end up being the greatest one of all time. You have to think it's going to be up there.
We have been saving it for a special occasion, basically, and a live audience. You had to be there, and tomorrow's the day. You had to be there. It's been running what, 3 years, and Brian Kerr's has been kept in the back pocket for a big moment, and tomorrow is that moment. So 5 o'clock tomorrow at the Goal Out Lounge, get down to that. Brilliant Gaelic Games coverage across Saturday as well. A Gaelic Football Review of the Year, a Hurling Review of the Year. Tommy Walsh and Aisling Mara are going to be with us on the Hurling and Camogie side of things. Sarah McCaffrey alongside Michael Darragh-McCauley on the football side of things. And then, of course, Nathan, the pressure's on tomorrow. It is you versus Ger versus Cullum in a live quiz. I mean, this is... We'll see how tonight goes. You can usually maintain your composure in a studio setting relatively well. Tomorrow evening, in front of people who, you know, hold you on a pedestal, really, do you think you'll be able to nail it?
No. We'll see what the glass of wine does before the crappy quiz, which isn't, you know, usually what happens on a regular Thursday evening. I try and keep it as professional as possible. So whether that's a calming influence upon me or whether the wildness is coming out the second I land it All Together Now, we'll have to wait and see. So, yeah, I'm very excited what you're going to come up with as the quiz master. No Simpsons questions, please. I know absolutely nothing about it.
Okay. There you go.
Good to know. It is all starting at 4 p.m. tomorrow in the Goal Out Lounge, by the way. Sean Defoe is kicking it off with a special live edition of Let Me Explain. So Goal Out Lounge all weekend. We're going to be there every single day. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. We should move on to the swimming, Cameron. The World Aquatics Championships continue.
Yeah, and disappointing news for Daniel Whiffen today. He's been forced to withdraw from the remainder of the championships in Singapore. That's due to illness. So the two-time world champion came eighth in yesterday's 800 metres freestyle final. He was due to compete in the 1500 metres freestyle, but confirmed today that he's had to pull out as he recovers from appendicitis, which he picked up back in June. Ellie McCarthy continued a sensational debut at the championships. She booked her place in tomorrow's 200 metres breaststroke final. The Enniskillen native was thrilled to make it through to the medal race.
Oh, I'm ecstatic. You know, this is what we train for. We train to perform in the heats. make it through the semis and progress through to the rounds. And I think that's really been a strength this year, that I've been able to progress through to the rounds. So to make it to a World Championship final, my first Worlds, it's really exciting. I think here it's just been so unpredictable. You know, you get top two, top three in a semi-final, you're not guaranteed a final. So it's important that you just put your best foot down. And whether or not I made the final, I would be able to walk away satisfied, just because, you know, I put my best foot forward and PB'd. You know, I know I've left everything in the pool.
Yeah, Ellie McCartney speaking there. We should move on to the rugby, Cameron.
Yeah, Leinster will host Munster in Croke Park once again in a URC Interpro Derby this coming season. So the reigning champions will welcome the men in red to the Drumcondra venue on Saturday, the 18th of October. The two sides, of course, met at GAA HQ last October, which resulted in a 26-12 win for Leo Cullen's side. With the RDS out of action again next season, Leinster will split their home URC games between the Viva Stadium and Croke Park.
Now, the Lions.
Yeah, Lions head coach Andy Farrell says it would mean the world to complete a 3-0 series victory over Australia. He's made two changes to the starting 15 for Saturday's final match against the Wallabies in Sydney. James Ryan and Blair Kinghorn have come in to replace Ollie Chessam and James Lowe, respectively. The team includes 9 Irish players in total, but there's no room for Josh van der Fleer this time round. Speaking earlier today, Farrell gave his thoughts on what's most impressed him about the squad.
Just how much they care. How much they care about the Lions' dream, how much it means to them. And when you package all that together of what it takes to come together as a top-class outfit as far as a rugby team's concerned, that's at the heart of it. I mean, for example, you come in after such a big victory on Saturday night, and I just left them to it because I couldn't get a word in, and you guys know that they weren't coming in for media neither, because it just felt natural for them to just celebrate together. And the people that were celebrating the most were the guys that hadn't put the shirt on. It says it all, doesn't it? And when you rock up Tuesday and announce the team to them on Wednesday morning, and you see the same again, people reacting and congratulating one another, and you get a type of training session that we got yesterday afternoon, it says a lot about the squad.
Yeah, this has been a relatively thin use of players, Cameron. I guess it kind of underlines how keen Andy Farrell is to go after a 3-0 series win. I mean, like, everybody's been thrown out the idea that, you know, this isn't a South Africa or New Zealand team. I suspect if it was, maybe the party would have raged a little bit longer, and maybe the team would have been a little bit weaker if you were 2-0 up going into the final game. Andy Farrell is like, no chance. We're going out. We have to go and win this 3-0.
No, and I guess it's both, like, Chris Jones has been on multiple times during the Lions series with us, just saying that, like, this is very much a professional endeavour for Andy Farrell. This isn't a sort of a coming together of four nations and making sure you appease all the political fronts. He's treating this as a high performance environment, which, to be honest, like, for everything we've said about the Wallabies, there's no greater sign of respect on the pitch than putting out as close to your starting team as possible for a game where the Wallabies are really going to want to win this. Like, to finish off on a high, to start as many players that they had. They have thrown in Nick White for his final game for the Wallabies, which was a bit of a shock to the system. But other than that, you wouldn't have picked a better side from the available players. So the fact that Andy Farrell has responded in kind with 13 of the players that started last weekend just speaks volumes.
If you are marking your card for the rugby weekend, another big match from an Ireland standpoint on Saturday. So this is the first warm-up match ahead of the Women's Rugby World Cup.
Yeah, and two big names returning for Ireland. That's Sam Monaghan and Bavin Parsons. They play Scotland, as you say, on Saturday at Virgin Media Park. Monaghan has recovered from an ACL injury and will captain the side in Cork from the second row, while winger Parsons returns, having broken her leg last December. There are two debutants in the team, with Ivana Kiripati and Nancy McGillivray both included, while Ailish Quinn could make her debut from the bench. Now, a last-minute try saw Ireland lose to the Scots in the final round of this year's Six Nations, denying them a third round finish. Hooker Cleena Maloney McDonald says they want to avenge that defeat in Edinburgh back in April.
Definitely we were disappointed at the end of Six Nations to lose that game. It's not one that we should have lost, we feel. So we'll want to put those things right in itself, just for our performance, like the things we got wrong that day. We want to tidy up on them. But I think it is more about performing as a team in the way that we want to play and the way that we want to approach this World Cup. And obviously people want to put their hand up for selection, so that's really important as well.
Some golf then, and Leona Maguire and Lauren Walsh are level par following their opening rounds at the Women's Open Championship at Royal Portcullis today. The pair carded 72 respectively and are 5 strokes off the shared lead by Japan's Eri Okayama and Ryo Takeda. Anna Foster is also in action tonight. A short time ago she was 2 over midway through her first round, and Seamus Power is underway in his opening round at the Wyndham Championship in North Carolina. He carded 69 today to sit on 1 under. That's 8 shots off the lead.
Cameron, thank you for that. Brian O'Driscoll will be speaking to us next from Australia.
The news round on Off the Ball
with UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
This is News Talk.